B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We're going to start from the Mishnah, approximately a quarter of the way down from the top of the Omud. Says the Mishnah, Hachoshesh b'shinov, if somebody has a pain in his teeth, lo yigamea bohen es achoimetz, he should not sip through them, through his teeth, vinegar. Because that's something that's typically only done if somebody is sick, if somebody's in pain, and doing that on Shabbos is also, one's not allowed to do anything which is clearly being done for a cure for medicine reasons. Aval metabil hu kedarkoi, he can dip his food into the vinegar and just eat the food. V'im nisrape, misrape, and if, by the way, the side benefit is that his teeth become healed, then that's okay. It doesn't look like he's engaging in refuah. Hachoshesh b'mosnov, if somebody has got pain in his loins, lo yisoich yayin v'chometz, he should not smear wine or vinegar, because that's very clear, it was not typically done in order to heal one's loins, and therefore it's again clear that he's doing it for refuah, and that's also on Shabbos. Aval sochu es hashemen, but he's allowed to smear oil, which is something that even healthy people would do. V'lo yishemen v'rod, but rose oil is something that people was very expensive, it wasn't so common, and if doing that, it would be very evident that he's doing it for medical reasons, and it's also on Shabbos. B'nei melochim, however, princes, that they could afford to smear, even healthy people, healthy princes would smear rose oil onto their bodies, sochin shemen vorid al makisem, they're allowed to smear the oil, the rose oil, onto their wounds. Shekein darkon losuch b'chol, because that was their way, that was their habits, even during the week, regular times. Reb Shimon Oimer, kol yisrael b'nei melochim heim, Reb Shimon maintains that all of Klal Yisrael have the same halachas as princes. We cannot differentiate between one part of Klal Yisrael and the other, and if it's permitted for princes, it's permitted for everyone. That's how the Gemara is going to explain this, and the concept of Kol Yisrael B'nei Melochim has been used in different variations in the Maseches Shabbos and in other places, but this is how it is read into this Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Romi le'Reb Acha Aricha, Reb Acha, who was Aricha, who was tall, Dehu Reb Acha Bar Popa, and he was of Acha, the son of Popa, Reb Avo, he asked Reb Avo the following question. Tnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, Achoshesh b'shinov, if somebody has a pain in his teeth, lo yigamea bohenes achoimetz, he should not sip through them vinegar. Lememra, so you see from there, dechoimetz maile l'shinayim, that vinegar is beneficial to heal the teeth. Voksiv, but does it not say in the Pasuk, kachoimetz l'shinayim, v'cheoshon lo inayim, kein he'otzeil l'shoilchov, that like vinegar is to the teeth, and like smoke is to the eyes, so too is a lazy person to the one that sends him. So it's evident in the Pasuk that chometz, that vinegar is not conducive, not beneficial for the teeth. And that seems to contradict our Mishnah. We have a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Pasuk. A Pasuk in Mishli. Says the Gemara Loi Kasha. It's not a question. Ha b'kiyuha d'peira. The Pasuk that says that it's not beneficial is talking about the vinegar that came from unripe grapes. It means it was wine that became vinegar, but that wine was made of unripe grapes. Ha b'chola, but the Mishnah that says that it is beneficial is talking about a type of vinegar that came from wine that was made from ripe grapes. V'iboy seima, another way of explaining that why it shouldn't be a contradiction. Ha v'ha b'chola, both of them are talking about mature vinegar from mature wine. Ha d'ika maka, the Mishnah is talking about where he actually has a wound. If he has a wound, then the vinegar is very good for the wound. Ha d'leka maka, but when there's no wound there, then the vinegar is going to be useless for the teeth. As it says in the Pasuk, ika maka masi, if there is a wound, masi, it heals it. Leka mako, but if there's no wound, then marpi, it actually loosens the teeth, and not only is it not beneficial, it even is damaging. Continues the Gemara, lo yigamea b'henes achoimetz, as we said, he's not allowed to sip through his teeth vinegar in order to heal an ailment he has in his teeth. Asks the Gemara, v'otanya, we learnt in a braisa, lo yigamea upoilet, You're not allowed to sip the vinegar and then spit out the vinegar, because then everyone can see you did it. You took the vinegar just in order to cure your teeth. Aval megamea uboilea. But if you sip the vinegar and then you swallow it, which is healthy people do that sometimes, then it's mutter. And in our mission, it seems to say, lo yegamea bohen, even if you're going to swallow it, you're not allowed to sip the vinegar. And that seems to contradict this brisa. Omar Abaye. Abaye suggests an answer, kitna nami masnisin megamea upoilet. The Mishnah that says that lo yegamea, you're not allowed to sip the vinegar, is indeed talking about a case where he's going to spit it out. But if he's not going to spit it out, the Mishnah will agree to the Braisa that it's muta. Rava Omar. Rava has another explanation. Afilu teima megamea uboilea. Even if he's going to swallow it, in the Mishnah's talk, is going to have a case that it's osa, not like the Braisa. Can, when do we say that it's muta if you swallow it, which is what the Braisa says, lifnei tibul. Before you start your meal, before you start dipping the dishes, you want to have an appetizer, have a bit of vinegar and swallow it. That's a normal thing to do. It's not clear and self-evident you're doing it for the therapeutic reasons. Can, but the Mishnah is talking about l'achat tibul, when you've already finished eating, you've finished dipping your food, to then take vinegar is not usual. Doing that is going to clearly define and say, I'm doing it for refuah, and therefore the Mishnah says it's osa. Says the Gemara of Neima, why don't we say midlifnei tibul shori la'achar tibul nami shori? Can it really be that something is muta at one point and osa at another point? Why don't we say that in the same way as it's muta before you eat, it's also muta after you eat? Deshamino ne l'Rava, because it was Rava that said this answer, and Rava himself said d'isle hoil. We have a logic called hoil, since. And since says, since something is mutter here, it's also going to be mutter there. Da Omar Rava, where do we find this concept? Leke midi de b'Shabbos shari o b'yoyma kippurim osa. We know that the melochus that osa on Shabbos also osa in Yom Kippur. But on Yom Kippur, the punishment is a little bit less stringent than on Shabbos. On Shabbos, one is put to death by Beis Din if somebody does one of the melochus. On Yom Kippur, he just has chorus. So it cannot be that something is mutter to do on Shabbos as a melocha, and it's also to do it on Yom Kippur. Hoyil de b'Shabbos shori, since it's mutter on Shabbos, b'yoyim ha-kippurim nami shori, it's also going to be mutter on Yom Kippur. In what case are we talking about? We know that if somebody goes into a mikveh, then, or if somebody goes into a pool of water, he could be going in just to cool himself down. That's mutter on Shabbos. He could be going in to become tohir, and that's called Masakin, he's fixing himself, and that would be also on Shabbos. So the halacha is that on Shabbos it's mutter, because people will see that, people will think he's just going in to cool down, it's not self-evident that he's going in to fix himself. Now, even though on Yom Kippur, nobody would say that he's going in just to cool down, because it's also on Yom Kippur, Rechitza is also. You're not allowed to go into a bath on Yom Kippur just in order to cool yourself down. However, strictly speaking, it should be mutter to go into the mikveh on Yom Kippur for somebody who's tamei and needs to become tohir. So that Rava says, even though on Yom Kippur, everybody will know he's not going in to bathe, to cool himself down, he's going in to fix himself, to become pure, nonetheless, hoil, since it's mutter on Shabbos, it's also mutter on Yom Kippur. It cannot be that something is going to be more osur on Yom Kippur than on Shabbos. So the same logic would apply here. In the same way as it's mutter before he's eating to take the vinegar, so too it should be mutter after he's eating. Says, and that's going to be a question on Rava himself, that Rava said that the Mishnah that says you're not allowed to take vinegar even to swallow is talking about after you've eaten. Why should that be the case? Says the Gemara, Hodar be Rava mehach. Rava changed his mind and he no longer agrees with the answer to explain the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa, that one is talking about before eating, one is talking about after eating. He changed his mind, indeed, because of his svara logic that he himself holds, that called hoil. And how is he going to explain the Mishnah and the Braisa? Like Abaye did. The Abaye said there's a difference between whether you're spitting out or you're not spitting out, and the Mishnah there says also is only also if you spit it out. Asks the Gemara, Mihaide mehach hodarbe, dilma mehahi odarbe. Why are you taking it for granted that Rava is changed his mind from this answer? Maybe he's changed his mind and he doesn't hold of the logic of hoil. He doesn't hold of the logic of since. Says the Gemara, loisol kadaitoch, that would not enter our minds. The Tanya, it's an explicit brisa. Kol chayve tvilois, all those that are chayev to toivel, because they've tomei. Toivlin kadarkon, they're allowed to toivel, bein betishabav, bein b'yom kippurim. So you see explicitly that even on Yom Kippur, he's allowed to toivel. So you see that we say hoil, since it's mut on Shabbos, it's mut on Yom Kippur. So Rava must hold of the logic of hoil, so he has to back down from, he has to change his mind from the answer he said to explain our Mishnah and Braisa. I just want to make it clear, because it's very important at this point, we're talking about the halachas of Yom Kippur. The halacha today is not like it seems from this Gemara, and even some of you think that they have to go to mikvah on Yom Kippur, should know, you should have to look in the halacha very well, because the halacha is not the way it looks like here. Continues the Gemara. Hachoshesh b'mosnov chulei. Somebody who's feeling, he has a pain in his loins, and the Gemara, the Mishnah said, la'yosuch yayin v'chaymetz, he's not allowed to anoint himself, smear himself with wine or vinegar, aval sochu es hashemen, but he's allowed to anoint himself with oil, v'loy shemen v'roid, but not with rose oil. B'nei melochim, however, princes that even during the week they would use rose oil just to smear themselves, even when they're not sick, they're allowed to apply rose oil onto their wounds. Omar Rav Ada Mbar Zavda Omar Rav. Halacha k'Rav Shimon. Rav is saying that halacha is like Rav Shimon, and even if you're not a prince, the whole of Klal Yisrael are allowed to use rose oil on Shabbos to anoint their wounds, the same way as the princes are allowed. Says the Gemara, lememra de Rav k'Rav Shimon sfirlei. Are you suggesting that Rav follows Rav Shimon's way of thinking and way of ruling in Hilchas Shabbos? Va'omer of Simi bar Chia mishmei de Rav. Rav himself said, "Hai musuchraya." They used to block up the where the faucet, the tap of the earthenware barrels would meet the barrel. Sometimes wouldn't be such a clean hole, and the hole would be too big. They would have to block it up with some material. So Rav says, the high musuchraya de nizaisa, the stopper, this material they would use to block up the hole in the barrel. Also la duke b'yom tova, he's not allowed to push it into place on Yom Tov, and when that is clearly loyka mechavin, he doesn't want to do schita. What's the problem with blocking it up? He's going to end up squeezing this material. It's seichet. Does he want to squeeze it? He's not intending to squeeze it. It's called loyka mechavin, and we know that according to Reb Shimon, a dover she'ene miskaven is muton on Yom Tov. And if Rav says it's Osa, he's clearly following Rabbi Yehuda that even a Dovah She'ene Miskavin is Mutar. So to hear, well, the question is, how can we suggest that Rav, or how can Rav say Halacha K'Rav Shimon when Rav does not follow Rav Shimon? The Rishonim discuss why there should be any connection between the two Rav Shimons. One is a question of B'nai Melochim, not B'nai Melochim. Another question is a Dovah She'ene Miskavin. But we'll leave that for the Rishonim. Answers the Gemara, Behahi afilu Rav Shimon Moida. No, it could be that that Rav always follows Rav Shimon. You're asking me why over there does Rav not allow him to put this stopper into the barrel when he's being seichet, even though it's a dover she'einim iskaven, that even Rav Shimon will agree that in spite of the fact that it's einim iskaven, it will be osa. Why? Abaye and Rava both said, if the result is inevitable, you can't say, I didn't have it in mind. You knew it was going to happen. It's like somebody says, I'm cutting off the head of the animal, but I didn't have intentions it should die. That's a joke. There's no such thing. Cutting off the animal's head means that you intend it to die, whether you like it or not. So too, squeezing a piece of material into a hole of a barrel, that it's inevitable that it's going to be squeezed, and therefore it's called mechaven, it's called you intended it. And even according to Reb Shimon, it will be osa. So it could be Rav does follow Reb Shimon across the board, and he says it's osa over here, because even Reb Shimon would say it's osa. Asks the Gemara, okay, so we're still assuming that Rav is following Reb Shimon in Hilchas Shabbos, and that's why Rav said, that loch is like Reb Shimon in our Mishnah. asks the Gemara, Va'omer Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Omar Rav, Halacha Rav Yehuda. It's said in the name of Rav again, explicitly, the Halacha is like Rav Yehuda, that a Dovah She'ene Miskavin is Osur, not like Rav Shimon. And if he explicitly holds like Rav Yehuda, then why is he following Rav Shimon in our Mishnah? V'Rav Chonon Bar Ami Omar Shmuel, Halacha Rav Shimon, it's Shmuel that rules like Rav Shimon. But it was Rav who holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Chiya Bar Ovin Masni Lo Beloigav. Rabbi Chiya Bar Ovin says that this Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, it's not people said in the name of Rav, and it was said in the name of Shmuel. Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi Omar Rav in the name of Rav. Rabbi Chonon Bar Ami Omar Shmuel in the name of Shmuel. No, he said it straight. Rav Omar Alochek Rabbi Yehuda or Shmuel Omar Alochek Rabbi Shimon. The tradition he had was very straight. Rav ruled like Rav Yehuda, Shmuel ruled like Rav Shimon. So you see that Rav ruled like Rav Yehuda. So how can we say in our Gemara that Rav paskins like Rav Shimon in our Mishnah, that even those who are not princes are allowed to use rose oil on Shabbos? Elo Omar Rava, Rava says, Ani, I Rava, Va'ari Sheba Chabura, and the lion of the group of the Chabura, Targimna, and we explained, Umanu, and who is the lion of the Chabura of the group? Rav Chiya Bar Ovin. So Rav Chiya Bar Ovin. Halacha k'Rav Shimon. The truth is, the halacha is like Rav Shimon. V'lav mitamei, but not because Rav follows Rav Shimon across the board. No. Rav does not follow Rav Shimon, he follows Rav Yehuda. It happens to be there's a side logic that even though Rav Shimon might say mutter for one reason, Rav says it's mutter for everybody in Klal Yisrael to use rose oil, but for a different reason, not for Rav Shimon's reason. It happens to be that the halachic ramifications of Rav's reason follow the same as Rav Shimon, but not because he follows Rav Shimon. My halacha k'Rav Shimon v'lav mitamei. What does it mean that Rav paskins like Rav Shimon, he rules like Rav Shimon that anybody in Klal Yisrael can use the rose oil, but not for the reason of Rav Shimon? Ilei malacha k'Rav Shimon d'shori. Are you going to suggest as follows? Halacha is like Rav Shimon that it's mutter to use the rose oil, even if you're not a prince. V'lav mitamei, but not for the same reason as Rav Shimon. What does that mean? D'ilu Rav Shimon sova, Rav Shimon holds masi, that the rose oil is actually therapeutic, actually heals. And nonetheless, Rav Shimon says that it's mutter. Why? Because Rav Shimon says it cannot be that it's mutter for one person in Klal Yisrael and it's also for somebody else. The Rav Sova, and Rav argues with that. Rav says, loy masi, that it doesn't even cure. And since it doesn't cure, no one's going to think that he's doing it for medical reasons, and therefore anybody can use it. It's like just oil. Since it doesn't have the properties of curing, there's no reason it should be also on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, that can't be. V'sova Rav loy masi, can Rav actually hold? Can anyone hold that the rose oil does not have any healing properties? V'amidik toni bnei melochim sochin al gabi makisem. Even the Chachomim in the Mishnah say that the princes, they would smear onto their wounds shemen vord, rose oil. Mechlal de masi. So you see that even the Chachomim in the Mishnah hold that it does have healing properties. If so, that Rav cannot say the reason it's mutter is because it doesn't heal. Elo halacha k'Rav Shimon d'shori. What we meant is as follows. The halacha is like Rav Shimon, that even if you're not a prince, you're allowed to use the oil. V'lav mitamei, not for the same reason as Rav Shimon. D'ilu Rav Shimon sovar. Rav Shimon says, af al gav d'lo yishchiach shori. Even in a place where it's not commonly found, this rose oil. And therefore it would seem that only princes use it, and if you're not a prince, it's very, very clear you're using it for medical reasons. Nonetheless, Rav Shimon says you're allowed to use it, because if some of Klal Yisrael can use it, everybody can use it. Rav Sova, Rav says no. He says if it's clear that you're doing it for refuah, it's osa. Not like Rav Shimon. Yishchiach in, if everybody's using this oil and it's very common and you're using it even if you're not sick, then you can use it, because it's not evident that you're doing it for refuah. V'ilo yishchiach, but if it's not commonly found, and if you're using it, it must be that you're doing it for refuah. Loi, then you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. So how can Rav say that halachas like Rav Shimon, that even if people are not princes are allowed to use it, is it not evident that it's for refuah? Ubaastu de Rav, Rav in the place, in the town or the city where Rav lived, Shchiach Mishcha de Varda. He says in this city, in this place here, there's a lot of rose oil available, and therefore even those who are not princes would use it freely, and therefore, even if you're not a prince, you're allowed to use it on Shabbos. But in a case where it's not easily found, and it's evident that you're using it for refuah because you're not a prince, in that case, Rav will argue with Reb Shimon and say that you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. Hadon aloch shmoyna shrotzim b'siyata d'shmaya. We finished learning perek shmoyna shrotzim, and im yirtzeh Hashem we're going to do chazor on perek shmoyna shrotzim, and we're going to start the next perek discussing the next melocha of kosher and matir, tying a knot and untying a knot. Says the Mishnah, ve'elu ksharin shechayovin aleim, the following knots one is chayev if one does them on Shabbos. Kesher hagmalin, the kesher hasfanin, the knots that the camel riders would make and the knots that the sailors would make, they are called a kesher shel kayoma. They are permanent knots, knots that are going to be tied once and stay tied for life. And those are the type of knots which one does them on Shabbos, one is chayev. O kashem shu chayev al kishuron, kachu chayev al eteron. Since it's a type of knot that tying it, you're chayev on Shabbos. If you untie it on Shabbos, you're going to be chayev for matir, another one of the 39 melachas. Reb Meir Oimer. Reb Meir says, kol kesher shu yochi latirei ba'achas miyodov, a type of knot that he can undo with just a pull, one pull of with his hand, he can just pull one of the strings and untie it, in chayovin alov, he's not chayev. And we're going to see in the Gemara why. Says the Gemara, my kesher agmalin v'kesher asfanin. What is this knot which was made by the camel riders or the sailors that is such a permanent knot? Now we know that the camels, there were knots in three places. One, the camel had a ring on its face, in its nose or wherever he had the ring, there was a ring that was knotted onto the camel. And that was there to stay for life. Then besides for that, on this ring, if they wanted to tie the camel onto a post, onto something, they would then tie a string at one end onto the ring, again a knot, and at the other end on the fence, on the gate, on the wherever they're tying it to, again a knot. And so too with the ship. Every ship had a ring which was permanently tied onto the ship, onto the boat. It was made once and that was it. It was there to stay. All it was doing was holding a ring with that. When they wanted to tie the boat to the harbour, then they would then tie a string, again a knot, onto that ring and another knot on the shore where they are tying the ship to. So the Gemara is asking, which knot do the camel riders and the sailors do that are called the kesher shel kayoma, an absolute permanent knot? Ilema kitra de kotra bezmama, is it the knot that they would tie the string, the rope, onto this ring? The kotra, beisterida, or the string, the rope they would tie onto the ring which is on the boat. Hai kesher she'ein shel kayomahu. That's not a permanent ring, because when you want to untie the boat or untie the camel, they would undo that knot. And even though it could be that you'll untie the other side of the string, and this side of the string, the side which is close to the camel or close to the ship, would be there a little bit more permanently, but it's clearly not there indefinitely. Elo says the Gemara, Kitra dezmama gufe u de isterida gufa. We're talking about the knot that's tying the ring onto the camel or tying the ring onto the boat. Those are permanent, they never ever get removed. It's a kesher shel kayoma, and doing it on Shabbos is chayev, and untying it on Shabbos is also chayev. Continues the Gemara, Reb Meir Oimer, kol kesher shu yochi latirei ba'achas miyodov ein chayovin alov. If it's a type of knot that with a swift, with one hand, you can just untie it, it's not chayev when you tie it on Shabbos. And obviously, you won't be chayev if you untie it on Shabbos. Boye Reb Achdovi achve de mar acha. Reb Achdovi, the brother of Mar Acha, asked the following question. Aniva l'Reb Meir mahu. A type of knot called an aniva, that we would translate as a bow, what's the halacha? And it depends. Ma'tamid Reb Meir. When Reb Meir says that if you can easily untie a knot, just with one slip, it's not called a knot, what does he mean? Does it mean because it's not called a knot? Or does it mean because it's such a weak knot that there's no level of permanence in it and therefore you're not chayev? But if there was a, so to speak, a knot that you could easily open but was very tight, maybe it'll be chayev. Like, what's the defining factor? How easy it is to open it or how tight it is when it's closed? That was the question. Time my time with Rav Meir. What's the reason behind Rav Meir's ruling? Is it mishum diyochel atirei be'achas miyadov? Is it because it's so easy to open it? Who? V'honam yochel atirei. This aniva, this bow, he can also open it easily, and therefore it should be potter. It shouldn't be chayev. The reason that Rav Meir says that a knot that can be just pulled open with one hand is not chayev is mishum deloy miyadok, is because it's not firm, it's not tight. V'ho miyadok, but this aniva, this bow, is tight. Teiku, we do not know, we have to let that stand, we have no way of resolving that, we don't know exactly what the reasoning of Rav Meir is, and therefore we cannot determine from Rav Meir what the halacha would be with a bow. And here again, before we learn this perek, there are many different types of knots, and particularly in the halachas of tying and untying, when you look in the halacha, in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Mishnah Berurah, whichever halacha sefer you're using, it looks very different to the way we're going to learn the Gemara, because there are many different rishonim and many different ways of looking at these knots and determining what's called kayoma, permanent, and what's not. We're going to learn these sugyos in Yiratzeh Hashem according to Rashi. We're going to stay with Rashi, and nobody should please learn any halachas from here. If you have any halachic questions, look up the halacha inside, speak to your Rav. We're never allowed to paskin shailas straight from the Gemara. Says the next Mishnah, Yesh lechok shorin she'in chayovin aleen kekesher gmalim u kekesher asfanim. There are those types of knots that they are not as permanent as the knots of the camel riders and the knots of the sailors, and those knots one will not be chayev for making them, tying or untying them on Shabbos. And the Mishnah just says ein chayovin, but it seems that there are those knots that even though you won't be chayev, still midrabanon they are also to make them on Shabbos. Now the Mishnah says kisheres isha, a woman is lekatchila allowed to tie mafteach chaluka, the straps of her gown. We'll see in the Gemara what these things are. The chutei svacha and the strings on her hat, the shel poskei, or the strings holding a very wide belt around her waist together, rutzuis minol and the straps of their shoes, the sandal or the straps of the sandals, venoidus yain and the leather canteens that they would store wine, the shemen or oil in. One is allowed to tie these things closed, ukadeiro shel basar, and they would often tie a piece of material over the top of a pot of meat. Those one is allowed to tie them on Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Oimer, Koishu nifnei beheima bishvil shelo teitzei. One is allowed to tie a string across a gate where the pen or whatever cage the animal is in. One is allowed to tie a string across the doorway to stop the animal from leaving its cage. Says the Gemara, it seems to be an apparent contradiction in the Mishnah. Omras, first you say, Yesh ksharim she'ein chayovin aleim kekesher agmalin u kekesher asfanim. Those knots that are not chayev, they're not as permanent as the knots of the camel riders and the sailors. But we would deduce from there, chiyuvahu deleka, there's no chiyuv. You're not going to be chayev chatos. Ha isura ikka. Nonetheless, the Rabbanon say, don't do such a knot on Shabbos. V'hoda tanya, and then you continue, and you bring the list, of when the continuation of the Mishnah, it says, kisheres isho mafteach haluka, etc. A woman is allowed to lekatchila, tie these straps and all the things we mentioned in the Mishnah, where it seems you're allowed to do it lekatchila. It's not even asamid Rabbanon. It seems to be a contradiction in the way we would deduce the halachas from the Mishnah. Afilu lekatchila, it's muta even lekatchila, not like is apparent from the first words of the Mishnah. Answers the Gemara Hochik Omer. We have to read into the Mishnah a few more words. Yesh ksharim she'in chayovin aleim kekesher agmalin u kekesher asfanim. There are those knots that are not as permanent as the ones the sailors or the camel riders make. And what are they? Umayinihu, and they are osir. They're not chayev, but they're osir. What are they? Kitra de Kotra Bezmoma. This is the other knot that we mentioned before. The knot which is tying the rope onto the ring on the camel's nose, or the Kitra de Kotra Beisterida, or tying a rope onto the ring that's tied onto the boat, those Chiyuva Hudaleka, there's not Chiyuv Chatos, it's not as permanent as the knots we mentioned before, which are absolutely permanent, they are there indefinitely. Ha Isura Ika, nonetheless, it's Asa, because those knots could stay for more than just a day, more than just a week, whatever it is, it could be that they're going to stay there for some length of time, because even when you want to untie the camel, you might just untie the other side of the rope and leave the side attached to the camel fastly attached. But it's not indefinite, so it's not going to be chayev, nonetheless, it's osa. And then we have to read into the Mishnah, v'yesh emutarim lekatchila, and there's yet another category of knots where those are mutter to do lekatchila. Umayinihu, what are they? Kisheres, miftuchei chaluka, etc. And that's the list in the rest of the Mishnah, and Yemirtz Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to learn more about them.